You're listening to a sneak peek into the most recent Chief Resident Incubator Hangout.
All right. Hello, Chief Resident Incubator members for 2017-18. Congratulations, Chiefs, your Chief Residents. Very excited for you all. It's early in July. That means you're officially Chiefs. And you're overworked and tired, and you didn't know how many emails you're going to get, and it's a lot, and it'll get worse as the year goes on. So congratulations. It's the toughest job that you can ever say no to, and I hope you all have a wonderful year and get a lot out of it. In one of our first recorded hangouts for this year's Chief Resident Incubator, we're delivering our annual CV and cover letter workshop. One of the highlights of the year, I hope our panelists get a lot out of it as they work on their CV during the workshop, and then those of you watching afterwards, you'll have access to all the same documents that they have, and you could kind of let this play and participate as if you were at the workshop working on your CV live and stopping my voice every now and again to go get some wine or something to make it more pleasurable. All right. So with that, we're going to introduce our panelists for tonight, and then we're going to get to work. So first, Jane.
Hi, guys. My name's Jane Xiao. I'm one of the chiefs at Beaumont Health over in Royal Oak, Michigan, which is just by Detroit.
All right. Welcome, Jane. Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen Thomas. I'm one of the chief residents at Carolina's Medical Center in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Awesome. Lipika.
Hi, I'm Lipika. I'm at University of Kentucky in Lexington, Kentucky.
Morteza.
Hi, guys. I'm Morteza Shawkalahi. I'm one of the chief residents at George Washington University.
And my Bay Area neighbor, Rosny.
Hello, Rosny here. I'm at UCSF, SFGH, one of the chiefs here.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. I'm Mike Gisani. I'm the vice chair of education at Stanford as of May 1st. Before that, I was program director at Northwestern. I ran for 14 years there a How to Get a Job workshop series for our fourth year residents. And this workshop that I've done for Alien the last several years is the same workshop that I offer to our entire senior class at Northwestern. It's our CV cover letter workshop. So today's learning objective is really to generate a draft CV and cover letter that you won't be embarrassed to go show your faculty advisor and your friends, your loved ones. All right, so some general rules about CVs and cover letters. First, there is no right way to do this. And you're going to have a bunch of faculty members tell you that there's a standard way to do it. And you should go on Google and you should find the standard way to write a CV and a cover letter. And that's the way that you should do it. And don't hand me this draft. Give me the same information in a different template. That's nonsense. There is no right way. There are some key rules that you have to keep in mind. And then there's some strategy, right? This is getting a job is strategy. You want that one job in that one city, at that one hospital that you've always wanted to work at, and that's what you're going after. So we need a little strategy to get you that job. So in general stuff, you need to keep the materials free of any typos. It needs to be professional. They certainly need to be legible and concise. These are not documents that you want to have too much verbiage in it. You want to get to the point. You want to impress the reader. So we're going to use white space on the screen or the paper to help facilitate reading. Use standard font sizes. You're not going to try to cram a 4 or 5 page CV into a 2 page document by using 8 point font. You want your CV to be as long as it needs to be. If you've done a lot in your life, then your CV is 5 or 6 pages long, and that's okay. That's encouraged. This is your chance to sell yourself. So make sure that the font is 12 point font. Make sure that your margins are standard margins. Make sure that you're creating sections with enough white space in between them to facilitate reading by your intended audience. And your intended audience are the chairpersons around the country who are in their 50s and 60s who have the presbyopia, okay? They cannot read 10-point font. Something happened to me when I became 40. Like the night I became 40, my vision took a tank. So I can't read the 10-point font. I certainly can't read the 8-point font. So make sure that you're making it easy for the reader. This is the same when you write papers, by the way, and you have reviewers at some journal who are reading your paper, or if you're going to write a grant, you want the grant reviewers to be able to see things very easily. Don't make this difficult. Clean, legible, professional, make it easy to read. Now, there's some common pitfalls. We're going to go through lots of pitfalls as we go through, but I would say that one of the golden rules is the pitfall of omission. And this is why it's critically important for you guys to work with your fellow seniors and look at each other's CVs, ideally create a CV warehouse for your residency so that the things that you do get archived in some way and you can not omit things that you did because you forgot about them. Avoid writing too much. This is not a time to put descriptions of things that are very common. So let's say you were on the admissions committee in medical school. You can just write, I was a member of the admissions committee. If it's something that was outside of medical school, if you were one of the ones who had a life before medical school, and there are technical jobs that you think really smart people with a doctoral degree perhaps still don't know what that means, then sure, you can put in a couple sentences about what that job entailed. Okay, so while you're trying to hold back like the extra nonsense words, the pink fluff words, make sure that you're complete. This is your chance to brag. And every single lecture you did in residency should be on there. Every research project you worked on in college should be on there. You spent a lot of time in that lab. That I was probably in that same lab. We were all in that lab at 11 p.m., tortured on a Saturday night by some pre-med lab director. Like, put your blood, sweat, and tears into the project. It should be on your CV. Things that shouldn't be on your CV are things that happened before you were a professional adult. So things that happened in high school probably shouldn't be on your CV unless you went to a very select few high schools in the country that everybody else knows. So panelists who are unmuted, can you name a high school that you think everyone else in the country knows? No, see how hard that is? Okay, good. All right, excellent. Things that happen in college, if they are germane to medicine or they're a really significant accomplishment, you know, awards, publications, put those on your CV. But, you know, I don't know that this is the time to say that you are a member of like five different clubs. If you're the president of a club or you had some really key leadership role, maybe that goes on your CV. We can debate those things. Things that don't go on your CV were all those part-time jobs you used to pay for gas money. Like if you worked at Denny's, admirable, I like Denny's, but doesn't belong in your CV. Okay, my last golden rule reflects the cover letter. So cover letters are special little snowflakes for every job that you're going to apply to. Before we hit record, one of our panelists mentioned that they were going to apply to a number of different jobs, inclusive of fellowship and some part-time stuff. Like, each of those requires its own special argument for why you should be hired. Your CV, though, does not need to be tailored specifically to jobs. So let me stop there, and then I'm going to go into really specific how-to comments next. But those are my overarching points. For this moment in your life only, we are going to make a different CV than all of the other CVs you'll ever make. Right now, the only thing that matters is where you went to residency. The only thing that matters. The employer is going to take your CV. They're going to read your cover letter. They're going to take your CV. It's going to be several pages. The more pages, the more weight, you know, if they printed it out. So that's good. It's heavy. It's got a couple pages. They're going to say, where are they going to residency? Oh, look, they're the chief resident or in the crankubator. So, you know, they're the chief resident. All right, maybe I'll look and see where they went to med school. Flip. Did they have a bunch of stuff or no stuff? Flip the page. Who are their references? Oh, I know that person. And then they make a phone call. Like, that's how it's used. So you want to front load with the stuff that they want to know, which is your most recent educational accomplishments. For the rest of your life, inclusive of like, you hate this first job, you quit it, and 6 months after you take it, you write a new CV. For the rest of your life, your CV should be in chronological order. The first thing you did comes first. But for this particular CV, my argument is you want to make this as easy as possible for those chairs who have tons of CVs to go through. Put the information where they want it, which is the first thing at the top is residency. So now that means you have to make things in reverse chronological order in that first section. So therefore, make everything reverse chronological order for this first CV. All right. So with rare exception, your employment experience is unimportant, right? So Denny's doesn't matter. Your college part-time jobs don't matter. The lab you worked in college as an employment experience doesn't matter. Your work study programs. Those of you who had, though, a significant life before medicine, if you took a few years, you're out in the workplace, you had some legitimately impressive positions, which many of you have, then that stuff's important. But still more important is where you just went to residency. So I would argue that employment goes after education. And this is different than if you Google how to write a CV online. It's almost always written for an audience of people who are just out in the regular workforce. So at the very top, start with some detailed, complete, updated contact information. Make sure that if you're going to put a phone number for your home, or you're going to put a phone number or an email address, these are phone numbers and email addresses that you're okay with having distributed not only to the chair, but all of the faculty when they start sending this around to all the people who are going to interview you. Have a complete address, phone number, contact information that corresponds to the residency that you're at, because paperwork gets sent to those people later. Your name should be at the top of each page. I like seeing folks date the front page with a last revision date. I think that's important. Standard fonts. Use Times New Roman or one of the ones that has a serif font. Do not include high school information or non-medical employment, detail, research, teaching, and publications. Make sure that you're listing your role on active research public projects, and make sure that you are honest about where a manuscript is in its stage of preparation. Last thing I'll comment on, include some of the special sections of a CV. Don't forget all the special training you've done. You've done tons of certification courses, all those merit badges and your training, ATLS, ACLS, those sorts of things. Any certification that you've gotten, if you did special language training over the years, if you're bilingual or more, make sure you're listing those things. All that stuff matters. And if you're going to choose to put any other sections, you know, be thoughtful about them. If you're going to have organizations that you belong to or society memberships or something, you're going to list ASAP and SAM and those sorts of things. If you're still active with, you know, a community organization that you've always been active with that's recognizable to someone outside of your community, that might be worth listing. But the last comment I'll make about the rules of the CV reflect references. So use an insert page break so that all of your references appear on the last page by themselves. This does a couple of things. It makes it easy to find them. It adds another page to your CV. And you have to be comprehensive in this list, but not like too many people. So here are the people that need to be on there. The chairperson for your department, your program director, and maybe one or two other people. All right, that is all I'm going to say about the CV. All right, I'm going to switch to cover letters. So again, cover letters are special little snowflakes written to all of the special people out there. So they need to be addressed to specific people that have specific titles, and make sure you know what those are, at specific places and know the address of those places. So cover letters follow a very standard four-paragraph format. So paragraph one is a statement of intent. Dear Dr. So-and-so, I am writing to express my interest in your ultrasound fellowship. Dear Dr. So-and-so, I am writing to get a part-time job at your locum tenens. Dear Dr. So-and-so, I want a full-time faculty position at your institution. Whatever it is, it's one to maybe two sentences. Some people will use the second sentence to qualify why they're applying, like you're applying your hometown hospital. You can maybe throw that in there. Some people save that for a little bit later in the cover letter, which we'll talk about. But they feel like it's weird to just have one sentence. I empower you to have one sentence, statement of intent. Paragraph two is the what am I doing now paragraph. So currently I am a fourth year resident in emergency medicine at Northwestern, which is a 1-3 or 1-4, and where it is. Our primary training site is this hospital with this many beds and an annual census of this. The additional training sites we go to are the following, and that's paragraph two. Paragraph three is the one that you tailor to the type of job. So this needs to be very specific about your skills. And I kind of use this old Jesuit retreat that I learned at some retreat a million years ago. The Jesuits, when they go on retreat, ask themselves three things. Who am I? What am I doing? And what do I want to become by my actions? And this works great for personal statements. When you apply for things, you have that blank screen, you know what to write. You write three paragraphs. Who am I? What am I doing? And what am I trying to become by my actions? So paragraph two just was the who am I. What am I doing is paragraph three, right? So during residency, I always had an interest in medical education. My year as chief resident has verified for me that this is a passion that's going to be lifelong in my career. During my chief year, I did the following things, M&M teaching, whatever. Because of that, I know that I want to be a clinician educator at a place that trains residents, and I am applying for a full-time faculty position because of blah, 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 blah. I think that I can offer your group the following things. But paragraph three is it's going to be 7 or 8 or 9 sentences. And then paragraph four is a thank you paragraph. And I put specific things in there. Thank you for taking the time to look at this. People should be thanked for their time. I would be interested in discussing available positions, and I can be reached at blah, blah, blah number to begin the interview process by phone. So that kind of stuff belongs in paragraph four. And then, you just say, contact me sincerely and insert a name. Curriculum vitae is italicized because it's Latin. Some people use vitae or vita for one, vitae for more than one. Google this. There's a whole debate online about which you're supposed to use. Most people use vitae. Choose whichever one you want to use and make sure there's a reliable means of contacting you that you want to be contacted at. All right, so I'm going to stop the broadcast. Thanks, you guys, for participating. And Chiefs, I'm around all month. Send in your questions. I'm happy to provide some insight if I can. All right, thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by EBSCO Health DynaMed Plus. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.